Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Men Gimel Amud Aleph on the first line. Now we're continuing the Gemara from yesterday. We discussed the enumeration of Trefolt. We discussed the 18. We discussed the Baskar, the 4. And we discussed the Sheva Shev Shemaitata. And now we're going to have a different approach or a different view of how you count the Trefolt. So Amar Ula, Chet Minei Trefolt Nemru Lo Moshe Misinai. There are 8 categories of Trefolt that were said to Moshe Misinai. Nikuva, punctured, psuka, removed, a piece, a section missing, nitula, something that's removed entirely, chasura, something that's missing, krua is torn, ripped, drusa is clawed, nifula is something that fell, shura is something broken. So now these 8 categories. If you look in Rashi, Rashi goes through a number of the items to show you which subcategory it's found in. How does it fit in all the things that we mentioned in our Mishnah? How does it fit under the subcategory of Nikuva or Nitula, so on and so forth? He creates, you know, the list and fits them all in. So what does he come to exclude? Slafuke Lakuta the Rachish Bar Popo. He comes to exclude the mention before of Lakuta, the problematic kidney of Rachish Bar Popo, because that's Lakuta with something that is somehow sickly or defective kidney. That's not one of the 8 items or categories mentioned by Ula. And therefore, he'll exclude that of Rachish Bar Papa. Amar Chir Bar Rav, Chet Trefot Yesh B'Nikuva. There are 8 punctures that you have that are problematic. Im Tomar Tet, if you tell me there really are 9 punctures, Mara, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Aktani La, the gallbladder, the puncture of the gallbladder is mentioned by Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, and that is a Dat Yochid, and we eliminate it. Detanya, we have a bright nikva hakeba, nikvu adakim, and if there's a stomach or the intestines were punctured, trefa. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda amar, af nikva hamara. Even if the gallbladder was punctured, that also would be problematic, but you see from that is that it's a dat yachid, and a dat yachid we're not going to enumerate, we're not going to count over here. Okay, now the Gemara is going to have a number of memrot from Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The first one is, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochan, halacha k Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Even though he's a dat yachid, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore if there's a puncture, a hole in the gallbladder, it would be a trefa. So, but I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my hajulei chavrei, the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What did those that argue, I mean, if you think Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is a dat yachid, and the Tanakhama argues on him, what was their response to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? They said, well, it says in Iyov, in Perek Tetzayin, it says, Yishpoch la'aretz meirerati. So they're learning meirerati here to be from the word mara. So it says that Hashem, they threw down on my ground my gallbladder. So certainly if you have a puncture in the gallbladder here, it's totally thrown down. V'adayin Iyov kayam, and Iyov's still living. So here where they destroyed his whole gallbladder, it's thrown down to the ground, he was still alive. But certainly if only has a puncture in it, then he's going to live. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda responded to them, Ein Maskarim Masenisim. Why are you bringing up something that's miraculous? Di'ilo Teima Hochi. If you don't say this, what are you going to do? This is exactly the same pasuk. This is just the first half of the pasuk that we just quoted before, which says, Yifalach Kilyotai Velo Yachmol. So the basic way to translate this means that Hashem tore asunder my reins, Velo Yachmol, and he did not hold back. But obviously, they're reading it here, Kilyotai, from the Klayot, meaning the kidneys. So Hashem crushed my kidneys without any problem. And Mikachaye, everybody agrees there that you don't live when the kidneys are taken out. Elanisa, shiny. That's a miracle. It was miraculous. Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says in Iyov, and the Pasuk's quoted incorrectly here, it says, Ach, et nafsho shmor. When Hashem instructs the Satan or gives him permission to attack Iyov, he says that you can do anything you want to him, but you have to keep him alive. And that's Achid Nefesh Shmor. So that's exactly Hachanami Nisa Shaini. So too over here, when you talk about in the first part that we quoted, Yishpoch Laretz Meirarti, just because his gallbladder was ruined or smashed, that does the fact that he lived is no evidence that most people would live or that he's not a trefa. Because the fact that Iyov was alive was a miracle. And you can't bring any proof from Iyov. And that's what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda responds to those that tried to challenge him about a puncture in the gallbladder. Right now we have another memra. From Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Rabbi Yosef, from Rabbi Yochan, halacha kedivrei haomer kezayit. The halacha is like the one who says kazayit. So this happens to be a stira between the Mishnah that we just had and the upcoming Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, with regards to the kaved, the liver, that if you take off the liver entirely, nitala kaved v'lo nishtarim min haklum, there's nothing left of the liver, then it's a trefa. The implications would mean that if you left any amount, it would be kshera. On the other hand, the Mishnah that says elu ksherot coming up says that im nishar kazayit, if there's a kazayit left in it, then it's kasher, implying that if there's less than a kazayit, it would not be kasher. So you have a stira between the Mishnayot. Our Mishnah seems to indicate that all you need is any amount of the liver remaining, it's fine. The upcoming Mishnayot seem to indicate that you need at least a kazayit in order for it to be fine or to be kshera. So the Gemara there brings the stira down and says that it happens to be a machloket tanaim here, and that there's a stira in the Mishnayot, there's a machloket tanaim in the stam Mishnayot. So he says, Halach Kadivi Omer Kazayit. Halach is like the second Mishnah, which says that it's a Kazayit, that you need a Kazayit, the liver, to remain in order for it to be Kshira. The Gemara says, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kahachi. Can Rabbi Yochanan really say this? V'amar Rabba Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Kistam Mishnah. The Halach is like a Stam Mishnah, but it's not in our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, says, Nital Kaved, V'lo Nishtar Mimenu Klum. Ha Nishtar Kshira. Afagav Zalavi Kazayit. So the Gemara answers up here, Amorainin Hu Balibid Rabbi Yochanan. So the same answer they give in many places, that Amoraim had different misorot about what Rabbi Yochanan said. One Amora had a misora that Rabbi Yochanan always said Halacha Kistam Mishnah. And the other Amora, like over here, where we have Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yossi, had a misora from Rabbi Yochanan, only when he says the Halacha is like this Memra, or this Mishnah, is that when you have Halacha. We won't have any principle or overarching principle that says Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Now over here, what do you do? If you don't hold like Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yossi ben Apsak, you say Halacha Kistam Mishnah, what do you do? So that's what Rashi explains over here. When you say Halacha Kistam Mishnah in Rabbi Yochanan, now you're into a problem. He says, and if you look in the Rashi, it's towards, as the lines expand in Rashi, it's the second line down in expanding lines, the first word, it says, Vehecha de'ika trei stamei, the satrana dodi. If you have two stam mishnas that argue on each other, they contradict each other. Ika taima lalume chada mechaverta. If there's a reason to give precedence to one of the mishnayot, then we will do that. And then Rabbi Yochanan will follow it. Ilo, misfekele. Velo kabilu hukta echaloch hilcha tokachad minayu. If not, like in our case over here, where there's no reason to believe one of the Mishnayot is better than the other Mishnah, you have two Stam Mishnahs, and then we say, we don't know. It leaves a b'safek. That member of Rabbi Yochanan will not help us out in this case. According to Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, we have a clear psak from Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Bechana, that says, Allah Kistam Mishnah, we don't have a clear psak from Rabbi Yochanan, because you have two Stam Mishnahs. One says okay, one says not okay. And therefore, we will not have Aloha out of Rabbi Yochanan in this case. And Tosos discusses a little bit about Seder a Mishnah, that generally we say that if there's Seder to the Mishnah, that within a single Masechta, the latter Mishnah always gets precedence, because the latter Mishnah means that it incorporated everything that was written in the first Mishnah, and it knew about it, and therefore the Halacha should be like the second Mishnah. So first of all, Tosfos first of all says maybe because the two Mishnayot that we're talking about are really one category, it's Elu Trefot, Elu Ksherot, so we're going to say that he called it one Bava. It's as if it's a single Mishnah, not multiple Mishnayot, so there is no Acharon here. That's one possibility. Tosfos says that the other possibility is that Rabbi Yaakov Morelins explains that the question that's being asked here is, if you say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef says, that means that you're indicating that the second Stam Mishnah, there's something wrong with it, or it's not the one, it's not to be relied on. Because otherwise, why would Rabbi Yochanan have to come out and specifically state that the halacha is like that Mishnah, if we already have a memra that says halacha Stam Mishnah? And the answer is that it's Trei Amorai. You can't put them into the same category. They're not, these two Amoraim are speaking independent of each other. We can't compare one to the other. Okay, now we have another Memra, which is, it shouldn't be the Amar, but rather Vi Amar, which is Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Mara Shenigva. If you have a gallbladder that is punctured, V'kaved Sot Mata, and the liver is covering up the hole, Kshera, then it's fine. So even though before they paskin, and Rabbi Yisrael Yosef said, Rabbi Yochanan, Allah is like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that if you have a hole in the gallbladder, it's problematic. That's only when the hole is open to the outside. But if the hole opens to the side of the liver, and the liver is covering up that hole, then it's fine. Another memra, V'am Rabbi Yisrael Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Nikev HaKurkuban. If the gizzard, here's in a bird, the gizzard is punctured as a hole in it, V'kishelo Kayam, but the inner membrane is still intact. So in the gizzard, you have the outer muscle, and then you have an inner membrane. So if the outer muscle is punctured, but the inner membrane is still intact, then it's fine, kasher. So now the Gemara wants to know the other way around. Ivailu nikeva kis. If the membrane was punctured, vakurkuban kaban kayam, and the outer muscle is still intact, my, what's the din? Tashma. Da'amar Rav Nachman nikev ze below ze kasher. If only one of the two is punctured, then it's fine. So that's our answer, is that you need it to be punctured all the way through. That means both the outer muscle and the inner membrane to be punctured by the curcuma, by the gizzard, in order to be problematic. If only one of the two is punctured, then it's fine. Amarava, shnei orot yesh lo de veshet. We saw this earlier in the Masechta with regards to a memra that we saw back then, and Rashi discussed it over there. But the esophagus has two films or two membranes on it. Chitzon adom, the outer membrane is red. Upnimi lavan, and the inner membrane is white. Nikev ze below ze kasher. If you don't have a puncture that reaches through both of the membranes, then the esophagus remains kasher. The nekev means it has to reach into the inner area. It has to puncture both of the membranes. Lamali mini meimar, why does Rav have to tell us that chitzon adom, that the outer membrane is red, upnimi lavan, and the inner membrane is white? And the answer is, di chalif trefa. Because it was turned inside out, meaning that if it was the other way around and the outer membrane was white and the inner one you find it was red, then it's a trefa because it's been reversed. It's been turned inside out, and that is a trefa. So now the Gemara asks a question. Nikvu shnehem ze shelo keneged ze mahu. What's the din if you have a puncture in these areas where you have two films or two protections? What's the story if you puncture them not adjacent to each other, not in a parallel manner? One puncture here and another puncture in the other area. The question is true by the kurkuban, where you have the outer muscle and then the inner membrane, and it's true of the esophagus as well. We have two membranes. If they're both punctured, but they're not punctured straight through, they're punctured in different places, what's the din when it comes to this? So I remember Zuchim Ismay the Rapop of Veshit Kasher, Kurkuban Pasul. By the esophagus, it's fine. By the gizzard, it's problematic or it's trefa. Ravashi says, I think it's just the opposite. Veshet the achlabe, the esophagus in which it eats. Ufayabe, and he also makes bellows out of it, makes noises out of it. Even though Rashi points out that the noise or the voice comes out of the trachea and not the esophagus, the idea being that since they're attached together and they're adjoined, that the noise or the bellowing of the animal will affect the esophagus as well. Basically, what he's saying is, Ravach, gamdile upashile. So that being that the esophagus is flexible, being that food goes into it and it bellows, it means that it opens and closes, that it has expansion and contraction in it. Zimdin demin handizin v'adeyadodi. There's a chance through the expansion or contraction that the two holes might line up, because the fact that it's flexible means that it's moving and the membranes are sliding up and down based on the contraction and the expansion. And therefore, there's a possibility, even if they're not parallel, the holes, that they could end up lining up. And therefore, it should be a trefar psula. On the other hand, kurkuban de minach naich. On the other hand, the kurkuban, where the food comes into it, drops into it, and falls into it, kidukoi koi. It's not moving. It's not changing its shape. So since that, the membrane and the outer muscles remain in their location. They don't change location. They don't move. So over there, the holes should protect each other. So amalei ravacha brei de Rav Yosi de Ravashi. Hachi amrinin mishmei de marzutra, de amr mishmei de rapapa, kavateich. Says eno chanami. That's what marzutra said in the name of rapapa, exactly like what you just said. And that's right. The aloha is that way, that by the esophagus, if you have holes that are not adjacent, it's problematic. On the other hand, by a kurkuban, where they're not adjacent or not parallel, the holes, it will not be problematic. Obviously, the havamina was the other way around, that the kurkuban that is mechalchel, that has liquids in it and sloshes around and moves around, therefore, the holes would be problematic when they were not adjacent, opposed to the esophagus, which just has the food going down, does not have the acid and the liquids that are rolling around in it. But Amar Rabba. Rabba says, krum shala machmat maka veveshet enu krum. So if you have a puncture, you have a nekev inside of the veshet, and that is covered up by the fact that you had some sort of scabbing, you had some sort of healing that took place over there that caused the puncture to be covered up, he says that's not sufficient, because that's not something that will remain permanently. When it's something that is part of the integral part of the behemah or the animal, then we can say that. For instance, yesterday we talked about the liver covering over the hole in the mara. So that's fine, because those pieces of the animal remain constant and permanent. The problem here is this is something that's grown on afterwards. And since it was grown on afterwards, it's not something that will remain permanently. Now, v'amar Rabbo, and this is something that we saw from Rabbo earlier in the Masechta, which is veshet ein lo midikami b'chutz, elo b'bifnim. The esophagus cannot be checked on the outside, it can only be checked from the inside. V'may nafkamina. Why does that make a difference? Because the safek drusa, we have a safek of whether the animal was clawed by a predator. And we said yesterday that, as Rashi notes, the Gemara thinks that the predator not only claws the animal, but inserts a certain amount of poison into the animal. And how do we tell if that poison is there? We see the splotches of red or the blood marks that are there to tell us that the poison is spreading. And that's what Rashi says. It was simanim, ad she'adimo simanim atzmam, v'lo she'nikev, that they start to redden, not because there's a hole there, elo she'eres ma'adim ha'siman, that the poison, the venom, causes the siman to turn red, and then it penetrates and flows through to the internal part of the siman. So it's not that there's an actual hole there, it's not a nekev, but the piercing of the claws of the outer area of the siman inserts the venom, the poison there, and then that makes its way through the entire siman. What's the problem? Because we know that when it comes to the veshet, and we're going to see this in a second, that the veshet on the outside is red and the inside is white. So there's no way to check for this redness on the outside because the outer layer of the esophagus is red. The only way to be able to check it is to go to the inside where it is white. So how is safek drusa that tie the kamei de rabo? So there was a case like this, a safek drusa that was brought in front of rabo. Dava kobodik le rabo the veshet may vray. Rabo was checking the esophagus from the outside. Aren't you the one who taught us that the only way to check the esophagus is on the inside, not on the outside? So afke rabo uvadke. Rabo turned it inside out and checked it. Vishtachach alei trei kurtei dama. He found on it two little drops of blood, bitarfa, and he made it into a treifa, because this is exactly what Rashi was describing before, is that the sign of the blood on the inside is an indication that there was a drasa there, that was penetration by the claws that inserted the venom into the siman, and that makes the animal into a treifa. So even though we don't see a hole, and we can't see the hole, and because we need to see the redness, we need to look on the white inner part of the esophagus in order to identify that item. So why did Rabba not do that up front? Well, it says, Rabba namelech dude le'abai yehu deboi. Rabba wanted to check if Abai had been listening in shir. So he did this in order to test Abai, to see if Abai would tell him, hey, what are you doing? How could you be checking from the outside? You need to be checking from the inside. The Gemara that we had earlier in the Masechta, we talked about the fact that he had a bird who was a Sufik Drusa or Sufik something, and the Gemara wants to know, how do you check it? So Rabbi says, check the siman of the kaneh from the outside, and then afterwards we can check the esophagus once we've checked the animal. So that works by a bird who only requires one siman. What about a regular animal? A regular animal requires two simanim. You check the animal. How do you know that you didn't cut through a nekev at the time? So Rashi points out over here that by nekev, you can say there's a problem. But here we don't have a problem of nekev. The problem is safek drusa. By safek drusa, the blood or the redness spreads. And therefore, even if you did a shechita, you'd still be able to identify the fact that there was a drusa on the inside after the fact. So the shechita itself won't run over the drusa, and you can still check it after the fact. So he says that's the distinction between a nekev, which if you cut through it, you can't see it anymore, and a safek drusa, which you can see even after the fact. You can check it and see that it's there, even if you've cut through. And Tosafot, back in the Gemara that we discussed on Kof Chet, brought an alternative shot over there, and based on that, it would be hard to say that, because over there he described the safek drusa as being the same problem as nekev, and therefore you couldn't say what Rashi just suggested over here. Okay, now, Amar Ula, Yashav lo kotz baveshet, if a thorn became impacted in the esophagus, ein choshishin shemehivri. We don't worry, or we don't suspect that it is either, one possibility is healed, and there was actually a hole, and now it's covered over, it's been healed. Or the other way Rashi learns is, hivri means it actually punctured, that there was a hole there. We don't worry about the fact that there's a hole from this thorn that's embedded or impacted in the esophagus. No, it's from the inside of the esophagus. Remember, he's swallowing it, so it's impacted on the inside, and now to have a hole that goes all the way through, you need it to go out. So the hivri is going out of the esophagus, the punctural hole going out. So that's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi says, u'ula maishnami safek drusa. Why is this different than a safek drusa? Why do we say over here we don't worry about it? The coats, we don't worry about the hole or getting covered up. And by drusa, we do worry about that, and you have to turn it inside out, and you have to check it. Why is that? Mar says, Kasavula ain choshishim the Safek Drusa. In Hachanami, Ula is consistent in his opinion. He says, by Safek Drusa, you don't have to check it. You can check on the outside. You see whatever you need to see, and that's it. You can tell from the outside. You don't need to check any further. And the same thing with the coats. You don't have to worry about it. If the coats is on the inside and you don't see anything, we're not suspicious that it once went out or that it covered up now. If it's in the inside, that's where we believe it stayed. And the same thing here by the Safek Drusa. If it remains on the outside, we don't worry about the fact that it's penetrated into the inside if we don't know otherwise. Now, Tosafot points out here, the fact that the Gemara connects these two items means that since we, Paskin further on in the Gemara, on Daf Nun Gimel, that Chayshinan Lasefik Drusa, that also means that if Yashav Lo Kotz Bavesha, that we'd have to suspect that. That if there was a Kotz in there, then we'd have to check it and we have to worry about the fact that maybe there was a puncture and got covered up. If we can't see it, then we would have to leave it as a Trefa. The fact that the Gemara connects these two means if we know the Psak Halacha in one, therefore we'd know the Psak Halacha in the other. Gemara says, "Umay shnam ishtei chatichot." Why is this different than two pieces of meat in front of a person? Echad shel chelev, echad shel shuman. One is of fats that are mutar, one is of fats that are asur, and he doesn't know which one he ate. So that's a case the Gemara talks about in Kritut, case that he has to possibly bring an asham talui for. So why over there we have a safek as goes lechumra, and we say he has to bring an asham talui, and over here we say the safek, just let it go. Gemara says, "Hotam itchazek isura." Over there, the Isser exists. We know the Isser was there. We know there was at least one pace of Chalev that was problematic that existed there. So we know there's an Isser there. Over here, we don't have anything to guide us or to tell us that there's a Isura here. Somebody says, Ogmai Shnami Ashokhet Besakin. Someone does a Shkita with a knife. Vinim Tsa'ab Guma. And after the fact, he finds out that the knife was nicked somewhere along the way. So Gemara says also, there, Hatam Idialed Le Riyuta Besakin. There was a problem. We had a Chizkat Kashrut, you're right. But then we look at the night afterwards, you ruined the chazaka that was there. So there's something that makes us suspicious at this point. Gemara says, "Umay shnami safek tuma b'rshut hayachid." Why is it any different than tuma b'rshut hayachid when we know we go safek li surah as the chumra over there? Gemara says, "Desveko tamei." Gemara says, "Nitamech nidmei la safek tuma b'rshut harabim." Why'd you pick safek b'rshut hayachid? Pick safek b'rshut harabim. Desveko tahor. Elohatam, that's not a good question because there it's hilchata gemira la misota. Now we've seen before that the halacha of the Moshe Misina is that we compare it to a sota, and therefore at times that there's a safek b'rshut yachid, that is chok, that it goes le chumra, the tuma, and safek b'rshut rabim is tahor. So from there you can't prove anything because that's a yotzei dofen, that's an unusual case, that's a chiddush, and we don't learn from it because it's halacha of the Moshe Misina. In general, the idea here that we have itchazek isura, or lo itchazek hetero, they might be two sides of the same coin. If you look at Tosfos Yeshani Hotam, itchazek isura, says, what about a chatiyacha achat? You have one piece of meat, safek shel chelev, safek shel shuman. Over there, what are you going to say? There's a day on Kritut, that's what you bring an Hashem Taloi for. There's no itchazek isur, we're not sure. We're not even sure that this piece of meat was ever isur. Says, there, lo itchazek nami hetero. He says, that never had a chazkat hetero. Avohocho, mikora haita b'chazkat kshira. So that's the key difference over here, the key element of our animal here, is that it has a cheskat kasher, and it doesn't lose that cheskat kashrut over here from the safek that has arisen. Since the safek has arisen, and we had a cheskat kashrut, we go with the chazaka of kashrut. We don't have itchazek isura. We don't have that we have a riuta in the chazaka for some reason. We have the animal, and we have something that might make us suspicious. So just because it makes us suspicious doesn't mean we ruin the cheskat kashrut, and it remains. And that's Ula's shita over here when it comes to safek drusa, as well as this case of the coats that is impacted in the veshet, in the esophagus, we don't worry about it, and it's not a problem. So now, Yotiv Haomi Rabbanan Kamed Rab Kahano, which this Rabbanan that said in front of Rab Kahano, Yotiv Kamar, Nimtzeit Itmar. This statement of Ula was only about if he found it in the esophagus. Of a Yashav, if it was impacted in the esophagus, Chayshinan, then we would be Choshesh for it. So Amalu Rab Kahana says to those that were gathered there, Lota Tzitule, don't listen to this. Rabban, this individual is saying this because Yoshev Yitmar, I mean, that's what we have. Our Ula says Yoshev, that even when it's impacted, the Ula, we don't need Ula to tell us that if you find a thorn inside of the esophagus, that we don't have to worry about it because the Kulu Chive Bariyata Kotze Achlan, all animals that go out and graze that are out in the open, they end up swallowing thorns. That's part of their diet. It's something that comes a part of what their feed has in it. And therefore, since that's always the case, and there are always thorns inside of the esophagus, you can't believe, make a suffix, and you can't be choshesh for all of that, then you'll never have a kosher animal. So it's clear that if there's a thorn in there, we're not going to worry. The only question is if it's impacted. And that's the chiddush of ula, that when it's impacted in the esophagus, we still aren't choshish. If you don't see it penetrating through, we don't see that it punctured all the way through, then we're not choshish that it did go through and then it healed, or went through and came back in, then we don't worry about it. Okay, now we're going to move on to the next piece, which is going to take us almost an amud and a half here, which is itmar. Torbatz haveshet. This is the pharynx of the esophagus, which is the beginning of the esophagus, the point in which the swallowing, where the food makes the decision with the epiglottis whether to go down the esophagus or the air that goes down the windpipe. So that upper level of the esophagus. So that Torbatz haveshet, the top piece of the veshet, what is the story with it? Rav Amar b'mashehu. If that is cut, then it has a din of mashehu, just like the veshet itself. The veshet itself, if you cut a mashehu, is a treifa. So too, this Torbatz haveshet has the same din. Ushmul Amar b'rubo. Shmuel says, no, it has the same din as the kaneh. The kaneh is only a problem of treifa, it's a rov. So too, the Torbatz haveshet is only problematic, you have rov. Now, consistent with their opinions, Rav Amar b'mashehu, because makom shchitahu. It's a kosher shchita over there. You can shecht it, that's part of the esophagus, that's part of the veshet, and it's a kosher shchita. It's a kosher shchita, it's the veshet. The din of the veshet is that it's b'mashehu. Shmuel Amar b'rubo, lav makom shchitahu. That's already outside the area that you can do shchita, it's above the area that you can do shchita. And since it's above the area of shchita, it's no longer having the din of the veshet. It's not a din of veshet, it's a din of the kaneh. The din of the kaneh, that has to be berubo in order to be a treifa. So now, hi nehu torbatz haveshet. Where is this torbatz haveshet? Where is it? So amar mari bar mar ukva mar shmo. Kol shechutcho umarchiv, zehu torbatz haveshet. If you slice the veshet, if you slice the esophagus, and this is across the width of the esophagus. So now you have the pipe, and you can see the top of the hole. You slice the top of the hole, and then it expands. It widens out. The circumference of the esophagus expands. He says that is where you find the torbatz haveshet. Chutcho v'omed b'mkomo, on the other hand, if you slice it and it remains stiff and it doesn't open up anymore, zehu veshet atzmo. That's the veshet itself. So the distinguishing characteristic of the veshet, the esophagus, and the torbatz haveshet is what happens when you slice it across, you bisect it. What happens to the circumference of the veshet? In a case where it's the veshet itself, it remains intact, it does not expand anymore. In the case where it's the torbatz haveshet, it will expand. So amalu, Rapapi mar lo amar hachi. My Rebbe did not say this, umanu, and that was Rabbi Rabbi Ella. He says that this was the issue. Kol shechot kovo amad bimkomo zeh torbatz haveshet. If you slice it across and it remains intact, meaning that it stays the same circumference after you've sliced it across, that's the torbatz haveshet. That's the area of the pharynx. Elezu veshet atzmo. What's the issue? That's kol shechot kovo kavitz. When you slice it across, it actually contracts. The circumference contracts and it pulls in. So that's the difference between them. And that has to do with the nature of those areas. In the torbatz haveshet is a harder area, so therefore it's stiff. And when you cut through it, it remains in the same position. It does not expand, it does not contract. On the other hand, the esophagus is a muscle that opens, you know, expands and contracts. And when you slice it, because of the tension in the muscle, it'll contract in that area and the circumference will close in at the hole of the esophagus where you cut it. So that's the distinction of those locations. The torbatz haveshet is a stiffer area, does not contract. The esophagus itself is an area that when you slice it is softer and more muscular, and that will contract. So now there's two ways to read this Gemara. One is that Yona is the shame of a chacham. So then it's Yona Amar Zira. That's who's saying it. Or the other possibility of reading this Gemara that Beit Yosef suggests is Yona. When it comes to a dove, Amar Zira. This is what Zira says. So those are two possible ways to read this Gemara. Mivla Ato. That's the place where it swallows. You wonder what the torbatz haveshet is? That's the place that it swallows. So v'kamo. So how much is that? So amar rav avyo. I'll tell you how much that is. That's pochot mi se'arta ve'adif mi chitita. Smaller than a barley seed, but greater than a wheat kernel. So that's the size. It's a very, very short amount, very small amount that is considered or classified as the torbatz haveshet according to this opinion. So now, havu Torah, the havel of bnei rav ukva. There's this ox that belonged to bnei rav ukva. The atchu be'shkita b'torbatz haveshet. They started doing shchita up at the torbatz haveshet, the gemar haveshet, and then they moved down into the veshet. So just one thing to note, according to Rav, even though the torbatz haveshet is above the area that is kasher to do shchita on the kaneh, by the kaneh we already know that mishipua kova and upwards is problematic. When you're talking about here, we're talking about the veshet above that area. So even though for the kaneh it'll be problematic, for the veshet you can cut higher up and still have a kosher shchita. So this individual, they started in the torbatz haveshet, and then they sliced back towards the veshet itself. So Amar Rava, Raminan alei chumrei de Rav v'chumrei de Shmuel. We're going to put on them the chumrot of Rav and Shmuel. V'tarifna alei, and we're going to make it a treifa. Chumrei de Rav, what's the chumra of Rav? Damar Rav v'mashehu. Rav says that it's pasul v'mashehu. That's just like the veshet anywhere else is a treifa when you cut through a mashehu. So too over here. When you cut through as a mashehu, problematic. V'hama Rav makum shchitahu. Well, according to Rav, it's also the makum shchitah, so they're not outside the makum shchitah, according to this. That's kishmua. I'm going to pass on like Shmuel there. Damar lav makum shchitahu. That location, the Torah of Eshet, is not the place of the Shechita. Ishmuel Amar Berubo. Shmuel says you have to cut through the rove before it's a treifa. So over here, they only cut through a portion of it, then they moved over, so they didn't cut through a rove over there to make it a treifa before they did the Shechita on the Veshet. So he says, Karav. Then I'm going to hold like Rav in that case, Damar B'mashu. So he basically passed on the Chumra and said it's not Makum Shechita, but it still is a treifa with a Mashu. So he took the Chumra of Rav and the Chumra of Shmuel. Igalgil Milta, Matai Lekame de Rabbi Abel. The situation or the case came to Rabbi Abba. So Amar Lahu, Torah, ben the Rav, ben the Shmuel, Shari. Doesn't matter. If you pass on like Rav, it's Mutar this Shor. If you pass on like Shmuel, it's Mutar. Zilu Amru Le Debrei de Rav Yosef Bar Chama. Go tell Rav Yosef Bar Chama's son, who's Rava. Rava Cholashas is the son of Rav Yosef Bar Chama, who's not the Rav Yosef of Cholashas Kula. The Rav Yosef of Cholashas Kula is Rav Yosef Bar Chia. That's the Rav Yosef that we know, who was the Rebbe of Abaye. But here is Rav Yosef Bar Chama, who's the father of Rava. The Lishlim Dmei Torah Lamare. He's got to go pay back the shor over here. He was taught B'dvar Mishnah. Tosfos says he did a B'yadayim. He fed it to the dogs B'yadayim. He said it was in Avela, and he fed it B'yadayim, so it's not a problem with Garmi anymore, but rather he did a B'yadayim. He was Chazik B'yadayim. He's got to pay them back. All right, we'll stop here.